Fitzy and Whipper.
Nova. Big day at the Vatican City yesterday. You may have seen this, the canonisation of Mother Teresa. Interesting, the Pope Francis decided to do free pizza. Dangerous doing free pizza, because you don't know who's actually turning up for Mother Teresa or who's there for the pizza.
And what do you order?
I know.
Margarita for sure.
Does he put in
it? It wouldn't be meat lovers, because that's she couldn't be to become a saint.
Yeah, but Pope Francis is just trying to...
Oh, Fitzy.
I can see what you've done.
Is that something disrespectful?
So, day in? As the complaints start to flood through here at Nova.
Do you go supreme?
I don't think it's not for Mother Teresa.
Let's focus on the pizza.
No, that's not what it's about. It's just the Pope saying...
It's to celebrate Mother Teresa.
Yeah, hey guys, if you're coming along, hey, I'm doing pizza.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It's to celebrate Mother Teresa.
Well, I'm just trying to move past the comment you made, mate. So leave the pizza behind. I'm here to rescue you. You are certainly not a saint. Interesting, though. Like, big effort to pull off a couple of miracles in the afterlife. I mean, you die not knowing whether you're going to be a saint, just hoping for the best that...
What were the miracles? What were the miracles that she performed?
This was in 1997. A lady, well, she actually died in 97, but this lady had a huge tumour in her abdomen. This was in, and it carried on. She went to hospital after hospital. Nothing could be done. And then she, in 2008, a year after Mother Teresa had died, she went along to pray at the chapel. It was there that there was a beam of light emanating from a photograph of Mother Teresa that shone into this lady's eyes that had the stomach tumour. The next morning she woke up, tumour was gone.
Did the Pope put on free pizza after that?
Trying to keep you away from pizza still at this stage, mate. You've got about another minute till we've forgotten about that. Doctors believe it was the medication that cured the tumour.
Well, okay, there's one. Check. What's the other one?
And 35,000 pages were documented on each of these issues here.
Wow.
This was another guy. What's his name? Marcello. What did he have? Brain tumour. This guy?
Poor
God, brain tumour, all right? His wife had given up on him. Mm. Nothing else he could do. He's lying in hospital in extreme pain as his brain continues to swell.
So he loves pizza too.
He does love pizza, mate, which is great news. At this stage, he hadn't had any pizza. He just had a bloody sore head, mate.
Right, okay.
Okay, this has gone on for years. So his wife got down and prayed to Mother Teresa, prayed every night. Finally, when it was at that moment where they thought he might pass...
Yeah.
He reported to have felt a sense of peace, and that he thought was the passing. The headache suddenly disappeared.
Wow. Your pizza's here.
No, it had nothing to do with pizza. He didn't recover because he knew free pizza and he didn't want to miss out. If pizza, do you think the pizza should become a saint? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well,
canonisation of a meat lovers.
I don't know if these miracles. I mean, how do you prove it? This
well,
is the thing.
That's the thing. Doctors need to come out and support it. Unfortunately, with the first one, they said, I think it's the medication's probably got rid of the...
Brain tumour, though. You can't get rid of a brain
tumour. You can't get rid of the brain tumour.
No.
How do you do that?
Operate. It doesn't just go away.
And look at the link, Fitzy, to think that these two cases, they were praying directly to Mother Teresa.
Do you know what? It's huge. To become a saint is massive, but it's been a long process for her, hasn't it?
And you don't get any of the benefits because you're dead.
Because, well, this is the thing as well. And when you're a young kid and we all want to be astronauts or a fireman or something like that, if you're a young kid and you go, I want to be a saint.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but then your dad turns to you and says, not in this lifetime.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
you go, man,
where do I start?
Yeah. So you live your whole life wanting to become a saint.
Yep.
And then you're like, all right. And as you're going, it's like, all right, guys, I'm up to level two.
Like it's not a Pokemon game, mate. You're not chasing Pokemons like sainthood. Yep. That's not how
cross
it works.
Cross your fingers for a miracle when I'm gone, guys.
I think you've completely misread this one, but you've given it your best. Thanks for trying. Gather in this morning for your Monday if it's a tough one and to work. Here's a bit of hope because, I don't know, you think about your longevity in life, don't you? And sometimes you wonder, how am I doing at this stage? I'm 36 right now. My knees are sore. I've had a small hip hop, but will I make it to 100?
Is that your goal, though, 100?
Oh, it'd be good to get the third figure there, yeah.
No, I don't
raise a band.
No, I think 80s. Late 80s, early 90s.
Nah, 80s is the new 40s.
No, because the body starts to, you know, mate, fall apart.
But you know what? Science and medicine's going to carry us.
Fed through a straw.
You've had a hip operation at the age of 35.
Yeah, just a
How
quick cleanup.
How do you think you're going to go at 90,
Why
mate?
Don't you tell me about the operations you've had on your body?
Yeah, yeah.
Three knees, two shoulders,
because
groins.
I was playing football.
I know.
What were you doing?
Extreme events. Caused my hip injury.
No.
Oxfams, marathons, charity events, raising for the poor. Oh. I sacrificed this beautiful body to give back.
Did you?
You just tried to get a kick of the pigskin, mate.
I don't think so.
Jesus.
How are you going to go at the age of 90?
I'm going to fly. You know what I worked out? If I live till I'm 80, then I'll be living in the 60s. How cool will that be? I'll have flares.
2060s.
Austin Powers.
God, you've thought about this.
Yeah, I'm planning it. Because
you
it's
will be
go
in
off.
A wheelchair. You'll have a personal assistant. Okay, you'll have someone who pushes your wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. You'll wee into a bag.
Okay. You'll have your own driver.
Some nappies.
Oh, well, Sarah, you were being supportive, so you were going to get an invite to my 80th, and he wasn't, but... Forget about
Who do
it.
You want to change your diaper?
You.
That's right. So I still get an invite.
I'm not going to be filling the back of my pants on my 80th birthday.
Please.
There's a village here in Italy. This is amazing. About half an hour out of Naples. Here's the secret to longevity in life, guys. 1 in 10 live to be 100. That's a phenomenal statistic.
Wow.
How many? Is there a population there? No.
Oh, don't
There's
worry
only
about
10
it.
People
Just
in there.
Just go for it. Yeah, one guy's fluked it. He died, but they think he's alive. They're claiming it. No, huge town, mate. I don't know. They talk about the fresh diet they have, and it's all their local rabbits and chickens and fresh produce. The Italians are very good with that. I think they have a lower rate of cancer as well in Italy based on the food and the way they enjoy the fresh produce. They also say the other key to it is a dash of rampant sex.
You're just throwing stuff
No,
now.
The Italians
okay, well,
are passionate lovers.
Do you want to read the headline of the article, Tom, please?
Yeah.
Village where 1 in 10 residents live to be 100 says the recipe for success is only eating fresh stuff and a dash of rampant sex.
I'm glad we had to repeat it.
Jesus, the world's longest headline for
stars. Very long. Yeah, it is.
Where's cool. journalistic skills gone there?
It's just, I mean, you're talking about the fresh chickens and the fresh produce, but you can't tell me this village isn't sliding a bit of Viagra into the diet.
Ooh,
I would have thought.
That's an allegation.
And when you get into your 90s, who's thinking, if we want to hit 100, come over here, honey, you know what we have to do.
Yeah, but what else do you do when you get old? You play a little bit of chess. Sometimes there's a bit of bridge. My grandma used to play a lot of bridge.
You
have a lot of ginger nuts and cups of tea.
You're not making love, Sarah.
Why not?
No, why?
Yeah, good question, Sarah. Why not?
If your body can still walk around and do stuff, I'm sure the other bits still work.
Yeah, if I'm working at 100, I'll be pleasing the whole village.
Mate, you're going...
Whoa, where's everyone gone?
You can't even please your village at home, mate.
Okay, mate. Well, it seems to be working. We've got 2 under 2. An accident's happened,
we said
okay?
Please.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, just get the job done.
Okay,
difference.
Okay.
Difference.
Thanks
all right,
very much,
well, why
Sarah.
Don't we send you over to this place in Italy and you can do the show from there?
Well, I mean, if there's a single guy out there now and he's looking for the older woman, you might suggest that there's a few in the village over there. If you like a girl into her 90s, Tommy, get on to good people at Qantas. We're sending one over.
Yeah.
Sending someone for an older lady.
4, 3, 2, 1. Vinci and Whippers. Vinci and Whippers. 6 o'clock clubs. 1,000. 1,000.
Hearing. I'm really nervous about this.
I can't believe we've got to this moment. I mean, everybody remembers when number one went off.
Who's got number one?
Doesn't Tom?
Or is Lachlan Murdoch got...
Oh, no, he's got number
Lachlan
100.
Lachlan got 100.
Because we went to give that away on air and we went from 99 to 101. Hey, where's the 100?
You can't argue
Murdoch's
with that,
it,
can you?
That's fine.
When the boss has got it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he's trying to get through at the moment to pinch 1,000 as well.
Well, he's got to prove himself this morning because that's what we're looking for. Why do you deserve keyring number 1,000?
But have you seen keyring number 1,000? It's unbelievable. Let's bring this briefcase in. Have a look at this. Just... Oh, hang on a minute.
There's a zip there. What's the zip there?
Thunder lock. Let me just... Oh, God. No. Whoa. Oh, look at that.
Oh, mate, there's angels in the room.
Number 1,000.
Claire from Campbelltown, why do you deserve keyring number 1,000?
Happy Monday, guys.
Hi,
you
Claire.
Too, Claire.
Look, I heard you give away 999 on Friday, and I thought Monday, 1,000 is mine.
Yeah.
Saturday morning, I went and bought a new VSSS Commodore, baby. I'm sitting in it right now.
That's my girl. Yeah.
And all I've got is the car key. That's it, guys. I need a key ring.
You got a lonely key out there, do you, Claire?
Mm. I know. Like, every morning I listen to you guys, and I hear that people... call them. They don't even answer. People with key rings, what are they doing?
What sort of wheels you got on that beast, Clay? What sort of wheels you got on that?
Oh, don't ask that kind of question, guys. Yeah. It's pretty, okay?
No, that's a good start. I like that. Just to compliment the new VSS you've got, you need to get a brand new key ring.
James in Bankstown, why do you deserve the key ring?
Oh, g'day, boys. Good morning. Happy Monday, boys.
Hello, Jim.
All right, mate. It's an honour and a privilege, boys. Look, I've been a long time listener, guys. Long time. Absolutely stoked to even be a part of the 6 o'clock club right now.
Yeah, sure.
Look, I've been here all the way through from the Bob Catapult right through to the Gladiator Running Club.
It's a long
I never
time.
Got a chance to participate just because mate, I'm a tradie and I'm always here. I'm listening and waking up with you boys. And mate, it would be such a privilege to have that 1,000 key ring, mate.
Like
and
James.
I've got a joke for you.
What's your joke, James?
Just for Whippo. This one's just for Whippo.
Right, okay, great.
All right. Why did the duck cross the road?
Why?
To get to the idiot's house, but that's not all, right? Do you get it?
Oh, no.
All right, we'll move on to the next part. We'll move on to the next part, mate.
You need to redeem yourself.
You were doing something. Who's there, James?
Quack.
Quack who?
Quack.
That's the joke.
Your duck got to your house because you're an idiot. Yeah.
James, you were doing so well for a while there, and then you went in with a two-part knock-knock. My God.
Boys, I'm not going to lie. I'm actually running late for work, and I pulled over to make this phone call. I'm on my last strike call.
All right, James. You're in the running. Man. Daniel in Oakland's. Why do you deserve it, Daniel?
Well, I've been listening to Nova since I started my apprenticeship, and it gets me through each day, and I love it.
Yep.
And I remember every key ring that's gone off. I listen to every single morning.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a joke for you as well.
Here we go. What have you got for us, Daniel?
What do you call a bear with no ears?
Bear with no ears.
But.
Oh.
I quite like it, Daniel. Aaron's in Penrith. Why do you deserve it, Aaron?
Listen, boys, I'm an apprentice and all my mates have got key rings and they always bagging me out because I don't have one. Mm. I've been listening for so long and you know how hard it is to get in on any of the jokes because I don't have a key ring? Now, number 1,000 would just stick it to absolutely everyone.
He speaks well. It's tough. You need to bring something else as well, though. For me, it's to compliment a new car. It's Claire from Campbelltown or it's Daniel from Oaklands.
All right, Sarah, what do you want to do here?
I think, Sarah, you need
to... We've got to make a call on this.
Tough call on a Monday. I'm going to have to go with Claire.
Oh, yes!
What? The sister's doing it for themselves.
Yes. What, the one girl?
New car.
Wow.
New keyring.
Hey, Claire, you've got it. It's yours. Keyring number 1,000.
Yes, you guys. Oh, I love you guys.
Claire, can you do us a favour? When you receive the keyring, can you send through a photo with a keyring and your brand new car? Is that okay?
Oh, babe, I'm going to go get the rims just for you, and I'll get you that photo.
One man we're going to hear a little bit more from. Reports are overnight that are out. Michael Jackson. Still alive.
Mate, I think we need to have an intervention as a team here.
I agree. You've gone too far. Jump the shark.
Can I just say this? That every morning that you come in with a new Michael Jackson story, everyone in the team groans, collectively groans. Mate, you're obsessed, right? He's gone. Yeah, it's hot. Like, you just got to get over it, mate.
You don't know. Like, you don't.
You're just obsessed with Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
always have been.
It's more sad, though. It's not that we don't love hearing it, because everyone loves Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more like you're just not accepting it.
Also, Sarah, if I came in and said, hey, guys, I'm so sorry to bore you with this. As it turns out, Michael Jackson's not dead.
Well,
He's actually been spotted with his family. Would you be interested in that story?
Did you not see the body get taken out by the paramedics? Yeah. The guy is
covered
dead.
In a sheet, Sarah. Could have been bubbles.
The evidence that you're about to tell people right now is the worst I've ever seen in my life.
Hang on a minute.
It's horrible. Like,
can you pass that to Fitzy, please?
I can't even make out. There's not even a shadow.
That's a photo of Paris.
Yeah, I looked at it
in
online.
Her car.
Fits.
All right.
Oh, dear.
The report is, oh my God, Michael Jackson, is that really you? So the photo is there.
He's
of,
in the back seat, apparently.
He's in the back seat with his signature round hat that he would wear casually
well,
on weekends.
There's no, I can't
yeah,
even see
Yeah, you can see,
the
shape of the hat. It's a little bit dark.
No, that's the head thing.
If you
the
know
headrest.
Michael Jackson, you would understand. It's more than just the back of the seat.
It's Duna.
It's
her
not
brother.
Duna. It's Blanket. No, it's not. That's apparently Michael Jackson. Could you imagine? Over 1,000 comments on that photo of people saying, I can't believe he's back. I mean, just let your mind run at the idea that Michael Jackson got so sick of the pressure of this world that he couldn't heal. He decided just to disappear.
I think the
and now it's come out.
The funniest thing is the way that you have to get it over to the line to the team to get it on the show as well. Yeah. And he came into work this morning and he goes, guys, it's on, and I'm serious, it's on the front page of news.com.au. Tom,
oh,
it's a massive story. It's huge. And Tom's like, all right, mate, I'll put it up.
A couple of the comments read, Tupac last week, MJ this week. Daily Mail, will you have a new picture of Bob Marley smoking cannabis in London next week? That's negative. Pegasus written, more chance of being bubbles. That's negative as well. What else have we got here? Oh, my God, a ghost actually exists. That's Dream Girl.
Where do you reckon he hides the whips? Because he's only little. He must weigh like 30 kilos these days. He was
well,
so
that's
thin.
Why you can slip him into the back of the car
you
or whatever.
You could put him in a suitcase, couldn't you?
It could be
you
a ghost. Yeah, why can't it be a ghost?
I'd do anything to have him back, Miss Ferguson one says. We need him back in this world. It's full of madness. He could bring peace.
Oh, no, he was definitely the most sane thing about this world when he passed away.
Please, you know, God, let it be him. This would be my ultimate wish. My other would be to marry my beloved Stephen.
Hang on a minute. Focus on the article.
If Michael Jackson haunted your house, it'd be pretty cool because, you know, like when you hear ghosts and you hear creaks and stuff like that's there, all you'd hear is him like going,
moonwalking.
Doing the moonwalking as a ghost.
That's
so he'd be
so
going, oh, look, I think there's someone in the hallway. Yep. Listen.
Shamal.
If you're ever at home and you hear a dragging noise across the floor and then someone goes,
and then get out.
As
get
out really quickly. Because you know how ghosts go,
yeah.
Does he drag it out and go,
I don't think that's the standard ghost noise that Michael Jackson makes. No, I don't. No, that's... For the Michael Jackson fans out there, you are just...
He's back.
Do not make light of this situation. Tommy, can you go and find out if he's really alive?
Yeah, I'll do it now, mate.
We need to talk about this Trump family holiday. And they've all been found now, which is good to know. But you may have seen this spread out across the news all week. But I'm going to go through it, and this is what actually happened.
Give us the rundown, because police have said this is the most bizarre case they've seen in 30 years.
So last Monday, okay, they live in Sylvan, which is sort of country Victoria,
yep.
Just out the outskirts of Melbourne, okay? And Mark and Jacob are Trump, which is the mum and dad. They jump into the car with their kids, okay? There was Mitchell, Ella and Rihanna, and they leave the house unlocked. They don't have wallets. They don't have passports.
Phones?
Any idea? No, they did. No, Mitchell did have a phone,
okay.
Right? So then they go and they drive and they're off together as a family. Then they go to Warburton, right, which is probably a couple of hours away, and Mitchell takes his phone with him and then he throws it out of the car window at Warburton. So no one's... got any phones after that.
Right.
Then they drive around about 1,000 kilometres up to New South Wales and go to Kelso, which is near Bathurst. And this is on the Tuesday, the next morning at 7 a.m, Mitchell decides to leave the family. So he gets out of the car and says, I'm not doing this anymore, and leaves the family.
Right.
The family then drive to the Jenolan Caves, right, where Rihanna and Ella spit it with their mum and dad, and they leave the car. So they're out of the family holiday now, right?
So it's just the mum and... all the kids are gone.
All the kids are gone, all right? And then on the Tuesday afternoon, Rihanna and Ella, they make their way to Goulburn, says. So they've left the family. But then I'm thinking, well, how do they get around? So they must be hitchhiking and stuff like that, where they report their parents missing before splitting up themselves. So they left each other, and then Rihanna is found distressed in the back of a ute and taken to hospital. Right? This is weird. And so, then the mum and dad drive all the way back to Victoria and Wangaratta, right, where the mother leaves the father, and then he's seen later that night. He just runs from the car and vanishes himself. Then the mum is picked up and taken to Yass Hospital, and then the father was found yesterday just running along the side of the road.
So 5 days
in the
later,
middle of nowhere.
5 days later, the dad's found. The mum's gone into hospital. Sister's found panicking in the back of the ute in an emotional state. And then on the news, you saw the son and the sister saying, we just want dad to come home safely. Dad then gets found, and you see the police footage, and he gives everyone the one-fingered salute.
Yeah, but the kids yesterday said, look, it's a...
Wow.
At a press conference, they said, this is a really confusing story. It's a family matter. We don't want to go into it. We didn't even know what was going on. Matty DeGroote, what we've heard is that the father thought they were being followed, or the family, there was danger involved and he needed to get them out of there.
Yeah, that's the crux of the story, is that the dad had believed that there was some kind of surveillance going on. What police believe is that they were possibly suffering some kind of group delusion, psychological issue, or another phrase for it, but a craziness of two, almost, where a couple will convince themselves something's crazy is happening, and they go, well, we've got to flee and take the kids with us, which is why they did what
they ran
did.
From the house.
Is that why you reckon Mitchell, the eldest son, had to throw the phone out of the window?
You think about it, if you were like, we're going to flee, we're being watched, we've got to abandon everything, and then there's a kid in the car with the phone... You're going to be like, mate, you got to get rid of it. You're in.
So what, do you reckon it was just in-house arguing that they got to a point and they decided to all go their own way? So you're right, if it was a case where they actually thought they were being followed and convinced they were being followed, that would understand or explain why the sister was found panicking under scrap metal in the back of a ute somewhere thinking, oh my God, am I about to be found?
Yeah, and the comments from Mitch were fairly normal comments.
Yeah.
And he was a bit disappointed that he left because he was like, look, I probably should have stayed with the family and made sure they got home okay. So they knew that something was up with their dad. They said they've never seen anything like that before, yet they did not have any control over his actions and being able to bring him back
what
to the house.
It sounds to me that obviously they went on this huge trip and Mitchell was the one going, guys, what is going on? I mean, what are we doing? We're driving further away from home. We don't have any money. What is going on? And I think he's threatened and gone, well, I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
And 1,000 kilometres is a lot of time to be sitting in a car to talk about a lot of things.
Yeah, but I want to know how Mitchell got back home.
But I want to know,
he was 1,000 kilometres away from home.
What's the conversation when the mum and dad just decide to wander into the caves and then separate? Are they going, we're still going to be found? Were there drugs involved?
And that's why. And that's why there is so much confusion about this story, because the behaviour from start to finish is so absurd and so obscure and so difficult to realise that you just want to know. And I hope that someone, 60 Minutes then, or whoever, gets them.
Why is Dad ropeable about being found and giving everyone, flicking everyone the bird?
Well, he's a berry farmer, mate, and it's a very shady game.
Is it true that your girlfriend tried to get out of the car after your drive up to Coffs Harbour as well this weekend, Matty DeGroote?
Yeah, locked her in. 1,000 k's up we went.
That's the most confusing story police have seen in 35 years.
So she survived that long in the car with you.
Keep us up to date, Matty. That's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
Honestly, it's the kind of thing that, because no laws were technically broken.
No.
It's just a family that went on a road trip for very weird reasons.
I would suggest the word cult will be thrown around pretty soon, if it hasn't already. Well, can I throw my 2 cents worth in?
Yeah, well, you're the one that's brought it up first.
Drugs,
well done,
cult,
mate.
Deviant behaviour.
No, let's not throw words out like that when you've got idea.
If I guess enough, I'm bound to be right along the way somewhere. Lights, camera, hilarity. Sarah's Bears Dare is celebrating a celebrity birthday today.
Yeah, that's right. Beyonce is 35.
Good
Can
on
you
Nilesy.
Believe it?
She only I thought she was actually a lot older than that. Sorry.
I thought
she was a lot more mature for her age.
So what do you think she is? She's
I
done a bit.
I thought she was like pushing 40.
No, she looks too good to be anything.
She's a baby, mate.
Yeah, she looks even younger. She celebrated in style, though. It started last week. She went to watch Serena Williams play at the US Open because obviously they're mates. So she and Jay-Z went along to that. And then over the actual weekend, she's gone to Camp David with Michelle Obama and the two daughters.
Not
because
bad.
Obama, Barack is in China on tour.
What's Camp David?
Camp David's the presidential
holiday
place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Amazing.
Imagine getting the phone call from the Obamas. Hey, if you're not doing anything for your birthday, I can land the chopper and get you to Camp David.
It's a pretty boring name.
Camp David.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about the name.
No.
I'm not.
It's like
Mum, Dad, where are we going for holidays? We're going to Camp David.
What did you want? Camp Steve.
Well, you want something like Dreamworld.
Oh, okay.
You know what
sure.
I mean?
Like Wonderworld or Camp Disneyland. Yeah. No, we're going to Camp Dave.
No, we're just going to go camp out with a guy called David.
Well, questions over where Jay-Z is for that weekend. It seems to just be Michelle and her daughters and Beyonce and Blue Ivy.
Yeah, where is he? Did he not get the invite?
He didn't go.
He's just doing it for themselves.
What big name celebrity is going to put in a phone call for your 40th coming in October? Will you get an invite for someone? Hey, let's fly you out to Camp David
style. We should develop a Camp Shane.
Yeah, for Warnie. Oh, you go to Warnie's place.
That would be, you play a bit of backyard cricket.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, that would be awesome. Everyone gets their phone out. Tinder.
Bang.
Oh, good times. Guys, Father's Day, obviously, yesterday. But social media has gone into meltdown because Chris Hemsworth put up this picture, a throwback picture of his dad, Craig. And you know how last time he put up, perhaps took a photo of Craig coming out of the surf at Byron Bay? Yeah. And next to him was Chris Hemsworth. And they pretty much had identical bodies.
Yep.
So everyone's gone berserk saying, you know, so that's where the looks came from. Hashtag hot daddy. He's perfect, all this sort of stuff. But it comes off the back of Chris Hemsworth. The buzz around him being the next James Bond is really amping up. And they're saying after his performance in that film Rush, where he put on a British accent, they reckon he's a shoo-in.
Wow.
It was so good.
I'd go for it.
Jeez, yeah, I think so too.
I mean, it's an amazing... The money would be unbelievable, but then you got to think of his wife and his family. You don't see Dad probably for the next 10 years if you become the next Bond.
Yeah, because you're locked into four films.
Yeah, but they move around with him.
Yeah,
like
true.
They're very good. They're always travelling together.
God, and what was Craig getting in the end? He was getting like $50 million a movie, wasn't he?
Something
and promotion. And
unbelievable.
Amazing. Some problems. Niall Horan has apparently pissed off Simon Cowell by signing a solo deal, but with his, you know how Simon Cowell owns, I think it's called Syco, S-Y-C-O is his record label.
Yeah, right.
Niall has gone and signed with Universal.
Oh, no.
So it now means that all of the boys, except for Louis, have a solo deal, but the others did sign with Simon Cowell's label. So
right.
Niall is on the outer.
Well, see, Niall's the only one that can play an instrument, isn't it? Like, he's pretty good on the guitar, on the
don't
axe.
Know. Don't
I
know.
I think they all can. They don't kind of few of them play the piano? Can't.
Harry's not picking up an instrument.
No.
Well, he's too good looking for that, isn't he?
He doesn't have to. Finally, Drake and Rihanna. It's 100% on. We talked about this one last week. But they've taken it to the next level. They've got matching shark tattoos.
Shark tattoos?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say shark necklaces.
No.
Big Cronulla fans, are they?
She got one on her ankle. I'm not sure where his is, but
she went out with Jack Bird a few years ago.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, anyway, it gone one step too far, if you ask me, the old matching tattoo.
Oh, well, that's good
shark.
To know.
It's a strange decision.
In the last week, you had to leave work early.
Helpful.
And you gave us the heads up that you had an interview for a nanny.
Supportive.
That you were going to get at the house.
Yeah, trying to find someone to help out.
This was all really rushed, but we got together as a team just before you left and said, can we get anyone? We rang Lisa straight away and said, can we get anyone, an actor, to maybe come in? You do two interviews, and the second one that you get is actually I'm in her ear feeding her lines.
Yep. You know, it was weird.
And we set it up last second.
So I'm standing around in the kitchen thinking, okay, great. We've interviewed a few nannies now, trying to fill the role to help out a couple of days a week just at home. And then I look up the hallway as there's the knock on the door and the nanny's arrived. In walks this glamour, 6 foot tall, blonde.
Christy Zeno.
Very attractive, short skirt, and I'm thinking, I don't know if this is a good idea. David Beckham.
That's why we...
David Beckham.
We wanted to see you squirm. So we got a really, really good looking girl. Christy was her name. She used another name, obviously, when she went in there. Lisa was in on this, but I was in Christy's ear the whole time.
Very good.
The video, you can go watch what happened. It's up on our Facebook page right now, the Fitzy and Whipper Facebook page. You can see Whipper squirm. Mm-hmm. But this is what happened when Christy arrived.
Hi,
how are you?
And this is Mike.
Good, Michael.
Hi, nice to meet you.
How are you going? Lovely to meet you. How are you doing?
Come sit down.
Come on, Tim.
Beautiful house you've got here.
It's a beautiful house you have here.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. You can sit there if you like. So tell us about yourself and kind of how you got into nannying
So I got into nannying through childcare.
And then I also watched Miss Doubtfire.
Did you love it?
And then I watched Miss Doubtfire and...
When her boobs catch on fire, greatest scene ever.
And
Sorry, when the boobs catch on fire, it's just the best moment.
But I wouldn't let Ted watch that.
I wouldn't let Ted watch that.
No, that's not for Ted.
No.
And what about other work?
And I'm also a part-time model.
So a part-time model, so I do everything, yeah.
Wow, you're a busy girl. And do you cook? Or,
yeah, I do.
You know Canton?
Do you know Canton?
Yeah, sachets.
Yeah. Just to keep it simple. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, it's got a little
chicken tonight.
Chicken tonight, things like that.
Uh-huh. Would you be happy to iron and do a bit of cleaning and things like that?
I'm more than happy to do that for extra money.
I'm very happy to do that for extra money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you guys don't have a cleaner?
You guys don't have a cleaner?
Oh, look, we do, but as you can imagine, with two kids, she comes.
I'm also a masseuse.
Before you continue, I'm also a masseuse. I know I have a myriad of jobs. Yeah,
so more than happy to help you relax after work.
I'm more than happy to help you guys relax after work.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you have a boyfriend or?
I do, yeah.
Oh, great.
He used to be an ex-footballer.
He was an ex-footballer.
Wayne Carey.
Do you know Wayne Carey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wayne Carey.
You guys will love him.
You'll love him anyway, so. You'll love him when you meet him.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think I've met him once at a casino.
Did he mention me?
In Melbourne, yeah.
Did he mention me?
Oh, it was years ago.
I suppose he wouldn't have.
No, well, he was married at the time.
I actually lived in Melbourne for a while. Went to high school there.
I lived there. So.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Ashwood.
Yeah. Whereabouts?
In Ashwood.
Yeah, I went to Ashwood High.
I went to Ashwood High, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
What did you get in your HSC? No.
What was your score in your HSC?
It wasn't good, I know that much anyway.
What was yours, Lisa?
Mike's not a great...
Not that it matters. I wasn't very academic at school. I had a great
time. You've done well for yourself.
You've done really well for yourself, so...
You're in marketing, aren't you?
You're in marketing or something?
No. I'm in at Nova.
Oh, is that the recruitment company?
That's the recruitment company, isn't it?
No.
Nova Entertainment.
Yeah, Nova Entertainment. The radio station.
Can I ask you guys a couple of questions?
Do you mind if I ask you guys a couple of questions? Is that all right?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Yeah, cool.
What's your relationship like between you two?
What's your relationship like?
Ours?
Yeah.
Just standard married couple. What do you mean?
I've just had bad experiences in the past.
Look, to be honest, I've just had bad experiences in the past.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for having me.
That's all I've got. To ask of you guys, so thank you for having me.
That's right.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. It's lovely to meet you.
Well, if you want to ring me to tell me that I've got the job.
Yeah, well, whenever you want to ring me to tell me I've got the job.
Give me a call on 13 24 10.
Just give me a call on 13 24 10 and call the Fitzy and Whipper show.
Okay.
Well done. Good work.
Thank God. Because I don't like weird people in my house. That was a bit confronting. Who's organised this?
Do you want to say hello, Fitzy?
Sorry, Lisa. No, well done to Christy. Christy, you dominated.
Have you got it? Is that in your ear? Okay.
Lisa.
Very good.
I'm sorry. It's been very weird.
Do you know the worst thing about it, though? We didn't pick it up, but Whipper actually gave her the job. And she's just still an actor. She was just a very good-looking girl.
It turns out she's not a masseuse. I fell for the trap, and I can't wait to meet Wayne Carey.
Go to our Facebook page, the Fitzy and Whipper Facebook page. You can see the video up there.
Interesting one yesterday. The opening of the Scientology new headquarters in Chatswood. How much fun would this have been? Members were flown in from all overseas, Taiwan. They spent $57 million building this new centre. And the opening act for the celebration was Kate Sebrano. I don't know if she sang Bedroom Eyes.
No, she sang While Sing Matilda.
Did she?
Yes, they heard that.
They shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Or for Scientology, maybe Bedroom Lies would have been a better version.
Was the Scientology place made in Taiwan? Or no, they had just people sent
just
over?
Just lots of followers, I believe.
Right. No, didn't they have to bring them in because not enough people wanted to be part of it?
Yeah. Are you sure the invites have gone out? Yeah, we're not getting any RSVPs.
And didn't... was David Miscavige apparently came in? He's the one whose wife's gone missing. Yes. He's the head. Wife hasn't been seen in, 10 years?
Oh, that's Tom Cruise's best mate.
Yeah. He was here as well, apparently.
Where was Tommy? I mean, mate, if we're doing it big, you fly the crews in.
He's very busy,
it
mate.
Says
Mission
that
Impossible.
Kate Sebrano was the headlining act. I'm just trying to work out who would have followed, or maybe the warm-up act was.
Who else?
I don't reckon anyone was getting up there.
John Travolta was also supposed The rumour was he was going to land a 747 on the roof.
Is that right?
Yep.
And then get out and do Grease
Lightning. So that's why all the cameramen and that were there waiting for it, but he didn't arrive.
And when he didn't turn up, they went, Sobrano, you're on.
He was getting a massage.
Give us bedroom ice.
His towel kept falling off and flying the plane at the same time.
I hope you had a great weekend. And for all the dads out there, happy Father's Day for yesterday.
But well done, dads.
Unfortunately, Whipper and I were a part of a bit of a trend that was happening yesterday. A hashtag dad fail. Disaster dad, bad dad, you know it. There was an article written on news.com.au and we got slayed, actually. We were a part of it. Hashtag dad fail. I spoke about the time we had a family picnic down at Mrs. Macquarie's chair and Lenny sort of crawled off. This is when he was 6 months old and I thought he was actually eating a bit of the picnic that we had together and I went over there and he had a used cigarette in his mouth.
Ew.
Tobacco everywhere.
Yep.
Hashtag dad fail. If you've got one, 13, 20, 14, I want to look after your dad today.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe take your mum out for a bit of a meal as well. Dinner for two at Cafe Sydney. I'm going to chuck in a free tank of fuel as well, sir, to get there.
Oh.
And a new outfit from Westfield for your dad.
That is a huge
deal.
All right.
I think what was your story? You forgot.
I forgot Mother's Day. Yeah, I thought Mother's Day was really for my mum. This was for Lisa's first Mother's Day. And then in a panic state, I ran up to Rose and Tony at the corner store and just bought some dried fruit.
What?
And said, have a look at these apricots.
That's not even
awesome. It was a disaster, Sarah.
Can I just read out a couple of these great stories? Cameron Daddo, he said, for my son Rover's 6th birthday, we bought him a bearded dragon that he called Gaga. River nurtured Gaga into a fully grown adult and he cared for the reptile for a couple of years. On a particularly sunny day, I said, why don't we put Gaga outside so he can get the sun? And he said, to be honest, I was getting a massive electricity bill with a heat lamp for Gaga.
Right.
So I tried to save a bit of money and leave him out in the sun. Later in the evening, I asked River if he'd brought Gaga back inside. His eyes popped out. We both raced outside to the backyard to get him. River opened the lid only to pull out the poor bearded dragon who was now cooked, stiff as an overdone sausage. And that's it.
That's terrible.
And River yelled out, no, Gaga, no.
Who wants a pet lizard?
Mate, I had a shocker yesterday. Just couldn't believe the timing of it. I'd pushed it out. I'd tried to make it so that Ted, I didn't want to change his nappy. I couldn't be bothered carrying him upstairs. So his nappy became heavier and heavier.
Mm.
And he'd just done a wee. By the time it was ready to, I had 10 minutes for him to go up for a bath, right? There was 10 minutes to go. He starts grabbing at his nappy. So I took his pants off. Next thing you know, he's pulled his nappy off and he's running around the house, which is fine. But that is the danger time, almost to the minute, right? At normally 5:45, he'll need to do number twos. Mm. It was 10:02, so I thought he'd pass that moment. Without pants on, he crawls onto the couch yesterday.
Great.
I can see his face starting to turn red, and I just hear this... you know that look on their face where it's sort of this awkward smile and he also looks around to make sure everything's okay.
He's like he's about to deadlift 150 kilos.
I yell at Lisa, honey, he's on the couch and he's trying to do a poo.
Well, you could have probably gone yourself.
Well, I just yelled out knowing I'd need backup. Yeah. At this stage, I grab a wet one from the kitchen and I'm running towards the couch with a wet one in my hand, reach out and grab it as it snaps off, lands into the palm.
Oh, great effort.
Unfortunately, as he then stumbled off the couch, more came out.
Oh,
ended up going into the carpet. That's fine.
Jess in Ramsgate, dad fail. What have you got for us, Jess?
I wasn't my dad. It was my lovely husband. It was with our third child. And as you do, you know, you throw them up in the air. My husband's quite tall. We were inside. He didn't realise the roof was on a slant. And he was stepping back, throwing her, and she... bonged her head on the roof.
He
feels awful, and I always bring it up whenever he tries to say I'm a bad
fan. At least I wasn't a ceiling fan.
See, with Lenny, I'll show you. I might have to put this up on our Instagram account. I throw him and spin him onto the bed, and BJ's like, that is so dangerous. He loves it. Disaster Dad! Bad Dad! You know it! To celebrate your old man yesterday for Father's Day, Richard Wilkins, this is a great story. He said, when my beautiful kids, Becky and Nick, were little, I told them that Darling Harbour was named after them. He used to tell the kids that the local MP then and then Premier Nick Grenier asked him one day, Richard, what should we call this new harbour area that we've just developed? And Dickie said, why don't you call it Becky and Nick Harbour, sir? And he said, nice idea, Richard, but that's a bit long. He said, oh, that's a bit shame. I'd love you just to name it after my darlings. And he said, well, that's it, Richard. I'm going to call it Darling Harbour. So the kids for years thought that Darling Harbour was named after them. Becky was studying Australian history one day at school, and in particular the origins of several place names. She told her story about the naming of Darling Harbour to her teacher, only to become aware of Sir Ralph Darling, the former governor of New South Wales. She didn't talk to me for a week.
Damn. Oh, well done, Dickie.
On Twitter, Russell Crowe said, I took my son to the footy. I was excited about a win for the Rabbitohs. And in the video, you can see my son mouthing at me, get out of my face.
Oh, God, you've got to love your dad. Well done.
Natasha, in Emu Plains, what's your dad fail?
Well, when I was younger, my brother was about two. My dad took out in the backyard and we were playing. My dad actually fell asleep, and my two-year-old brother managed to climb over the side fence where the next-door neighbour was.
Mm-hmm.
However, the next-door neighbour... between their backyard and our backyard is about 10 metres. And so my brother was hanging on the edge of the wall for about 5 minutes screaming out, Dad, Dad. But unfortunately, my dad didn't wake up, and so Mum ran out and ended up calling the Armour Brigade.
Oh, no. I mean, if Dad's having a rest, then that's fine if the kids are about to break an arm.
Happy Father's Day, Dad. Andrew in Northmead, what did your dad do, Drew?
Well, my dad's notoriously bad at remembering anything. Our birthdays, anniversaries, all of that stuff. And 1 year he was at work and he's...
Lost Andrew. No. That's all right. Simon and Sutherland, welcome to the show. What's your dad file, Simon?
Yeah, basically, I paid for my kids to have some sailing lessons once and I didn't realise I'd actually booked them into the advanced class. So I put my seven-year-old son on the dinghy. There's an offshore breeze and I just watched him sail off into the middle of the harbour.
Oh, outstanding, Simon.
That is great.
Well done, buddy.
Lee in Blacktown, what did your husband do, Lee?
Yeah, hi, guys. Took my 8-year-old to the football with a group of friends for his birthday and one other dad. They got after the game, got to the car park, focused on getting all the kids in the car, got about 20 minutes away on his way home, and one of the other dads called him and said, I think he forgot something, and actually left our son in the car park.
Awesome. I mean, when you say get in the car, you just assume they're going to get in the car, don't you, Lee?
Well, yeah, he was so focused on everyone else's kids that he just didn't even realise or think about his own. Yep.
And there still would have been supporters in the car park too as he went back there to go get his son.
It's bound to happen, isn't it? Thanks, Lee. Julie, welcome to the show. What's your dad fail story?
Hi, guys. When I was a baby, Dad obviously thought Mum had me before he put us in the car, and I was actually still in the pram, and he folded up the pram and put me in the boot. Yeah, and got in and said, where's the baby? And, yeah, I was in the boot in the pram.
Oh, my God. Julie, that is unbelievable. Do you know, I spend a lot of my time with Lisa saying, honey, I'm not going to get it right every time. No one makes a mistake deliberately.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. Well done, and it's good to celebrate the dads.
We turn to you again. We've got a great prize for
a
dad.
Big prize.
Dinner for two at Cafe Sydney. Free tank of fuel and a new outfit from Westfield thanks to Sage Institute of Fitness.
What do you want to do, Sarah's Bearers?
Oh, I love the sailing story, but I reckon we're going to have to go with Baby in the Pram in the Boot.
Baby in the Pram in the Boot. Julie, congratulations.
Awesome, thank you. Well, thanks, Dad, for that.
Yeah. Thank you, Dad. Call him and let him know he's getting nothing, but you've won today.
Clowns. I don't understand why people are scared of clowns.
I don't understand why someone would become a clown.
Yeah, it is a weird profession, isn't it?
How do you end up there?
I went
to school with a guy, and quite strangely, he didn't tell anyone, but on the weekends, he was just Andy Pandy the clown. Like, why aren't you telling anyone to start with? That concerns me that you've kept it quiet.
Kids love clown. It's quite lucrative. Kids' entertainment these days, mate. Birthday parties, you can make a lot of money.
Andy Pandy's not terribly creative.
No, it's not.
It's a little bit of a lazy one.
I mean, it just comes with a bit of a creep feel to it, the old clown, doesn't it?
Handy Andy, that would probably be a bit...
Yeah, that's Hens Nights. Maybe he does that at night.
Yeah, that's his other gig.
Honey, I'm thinking about booking in Handy Andy for the kids' third birthday.
Let's go with Andy Pandy. It's terrible when he confuses the gigs he's got.
Anyway, over in South Carolina, northeastern South Carolina, there's a small little town that have reported sightings of silent, menacing clouds in the woods that are trying to lure children into the woods with them.
What, more than one clown?
Yep.
How many?
There's been about four different photos of different clowns.
Come into the woods.
What? First of all, why would a kid follow a clown into the woods if it's menacing? Because I've seen some of these photos. Some of them do look a bit scary from a distance.
Well, traditionally, they're meant to be fun and funny. They represent a party and tricks.
Do they look like the kind of clown in the... Is it Stephen King? It?
Yeah, It. Well, this is the thing, Sarah. They're recreating It. So this is what I'm thinking. Is this a it's not a bad promotion for the movie. Because if people start talking about this, it's like when you hear about a serial killer or something like that, and the whole town goes into panic. This is not bad leading into a movie. People will go and see it. There's another guy who's a musician. His name's Rob Zombie, and he makes movies on the side as well. And he's got his new movie. He's got Killer Clowns.
Clowns are alcoholics, aren't they?
I think that's a very broad statement.
When you're getting up on a Saturday morning, you're slightly hungover because you watch the footy eating pizza on the couch and you're covering your face in makeup, I reckon you're pouring a big glass of gin at the same
time. Funny you should say that, Sue, because it's great by Channel 10. It's the first time that they've got an alcoholic clown in The Bachelorette.
Diversity. And that's what we're after in these modern times.
I don't know how far he gets.
That's okay. Have we done dodgy clowns on the show?
We must do dodgy clowns. We'd probably have to get legals down to take the calls first.
Yeah, let's see if we get any drunk clowns that have turned up to parties. Well, they can't make a sausage dog out of a balloon.
The movie It with Pennywise the clown, that is scary.
I haven't seen it.
And no, Pennywise lives down in the drains, so he lures kids to come down to the drain. You're a pretty dumb kid if you're going to go down to a drain with a clown, aren't you? Yeah.
Why is he called Pennywise? What does that mean?
That was just the name.
That's weird.
Great punk band, too.
Remember the story I told? Oh, I won't go into it. I've said it too many times.
Oh, here we go.
About in the baby's room?
No, yeah, this is... You took that off someone else and said, this is the greatest story I've ever heard
happened
in my life.
Happened to Pip Brown. You know Pip?
No, it did not. Yeah, it did.
And she was babysitting and then couldn't get the kid to settle and then finally rang the parents and said, look, kid won't settle. I think it's because of the clown in the corner of his room. And she said, grab the kid and get out of the house. We don't have a clown in the corner of the room. And it was a clown that was stalking.
We're having a scotch in the corner.
Was it really?
It was a clown that was stalking the neighbourhood and was standing in the corner of the kid's bedroom. And she'd been back and forth a few times trying to rock the cot to get this kid to sleep. But the kid just wouldn't. And they just thought she just thought it was a stuffed thing in the corner of the room.
So wait up. Okay.
Why didn't it attack her?
Let's say.
Don't know, Sarah.
Ask
the alcoholic clown.
Let's say the guy was short. Let's say he's 5'4". If you walked into a room and saw a 5'4" bloke, right, standing in the corner of the room, would you go, oh, that's an amazing toy?
No,
it's a stuffed clown.
I mean, like a mannequin or something. Well, they'd
bought it somewhere. I've never seen one of those in my life.
But it might have been surrounded by toys.
Yep.
So he fit
in. It's not like E.T., where E.T., remember they looked through the room and there's all the stuffed toys and E.T. just had his head there and they didn't know it was him?
No, it was just there. And he probably had his head down so it looked like he was almost hung up or on a stand or something.
I would find it a bit dodgy.
Pip kept going back to the lounge room and the kid would keep crying. So I don't know what the clown was doing to scare the child at the time.
Might be poking it to cry to get her to come back.
The parents raced home. Cops were called. They searched the neighbourhood. Couldn't find the clown.
But when they went back into the room, they said, oh, something smells funny. Uh-huh. And it was clown poo.
That is, you've taken a scary story. Oh, hang on a minute. I suppose we could allow it because it was close to Father's Day. Because that is one of the great dad jokes of all time.
Smells funny.
Clown poo, yeah, I get it.
Come on.
No, I get the joke. It's the oldest one of the book.
We just needed an out. And we didn't.
Fitzy and Whipper. Nova.